from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and accessible to all. A little bit about me. I'm a former FanGraphs fantasy contributor and a lifelong diehard Giants fan. Coming up on today's show, I want to cover the notes from yesterday's summer camp day with the Giants. It seems like we're getting, you know, more and more information, more and more updates every day, and yesterday was no exception. And if time permits, we'll continue looking at the FanGraphs positional power rankings, and we'll move on to the next position. But first, there are a number of notes to cover from yesterday, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but if you recall, a few days ago, I was talking about how the Giants were making a huge mistake by not broadcasting their summer camp intra-squad games, where they have a lot of their top prospects, including guys like Joey Bart and Marco Luciano, who should make fans excited about the future. So it was literally the next day after I had said that, that they did start broadcasting these games, at least on like Facebook and Twitter and maybe somewhere else on social media. But as time has gone on, the broadcast quality has gotten even better, because at first, it was just the view behind home plate, and yesterday, they broadcast the game with the view behind home plate and also the high home view, where you can see the result of the ball that's put in play. And they also have some high-quality cameras down on the field capturing video, and they're showing highlights and putting them on social media afterwards. So I don't know if that's just a coincidence or what, but good job for the Giants for paying attention and realizing that they really needed to be capturing these moments and sharing it with the fans. So anyway, yesterday we were kind of able to watch the game, and there were several notes, the first of which is that left-handed pitcher Tyler Anderson, who I've been talking about on this show as a quality pitcher that was a really low-key, good acquisition for the Giants as a waiver claim, he is healthy now. The big thing about him was that he had a very serious knee surgery last year that takes a long time to recover from. But, you know, about a year removed from that surgery, he's back and he's healthy. And he was on the mound yesterday and just looked very impressive. So I remain super optimistic about the outlook for Tyler Anderson. I'm not saying he's going to be an ace, but I think he could be a really nice starting pitcher for the Giants, you know, this year in the shortened season and then all of next year, because he does have that additional year of team control on a really cheap deal as well. But before we talk more about the game itself, the intra-squad game, I do want to provide some probably more significant updates about the health and status of a couple players. So first thing to report is that Billy Hamilton was in the ballpark yesterday and has reportedly been cleared to resume all baseball activities. So he was absent from camp this entire time, mysteriously. I mean, I think we all know what might have been the case, but the Giants just said he was absent for medical reasons and they put him on the injured list. But he's back and he was seen like running up the stairs, you know, in the concourse at Oracle Park. But Gabe Kapler did say that he's not likely to be a part of the opening day roster, given how late it is in camp. The other big piece of news is that Evan Longoria injured his oblique moderately in yesterday's game when he was swinging. So a moderate oblique strain, I mean, obliques are really tough because you have to let that thing totally settle down, because swinging a bat is like the absolute worst thing you could do for a tender oblique, and you can really have a serious problem if it gets worse, and then you have to miss a lot of time. So they're probably going to shut Longoria down, and I would say he's unlikely to be now on the opening day roster. I mean, he'll probably start the year on the injured list. So this opens up a big question about who's going to play third base, because Longoria was one of the few guys who we didn't really necessarily see an obvious platoon partner for. And, you know, I understand why his defense is so good that you can justify him being out there day in and day out, and he doesn't necessarily have big platoon splits at this point. But, you know, with Belt kind of questionable as well, and the report yesterday was that Belt, his heel has improved enough to let him take ground balls and hit in the cage, and Kapler would not rule him out for opening day. But, you know, with these two guys questionable, it does start to test the depth that the Giants have that I've been talking about all offseason. And so, just according to the Giants' own website, in terms of looking at their depth chart, at third base, they're listing Evan Longoria at the top, followed by Wilmer Flores and Pablo Sandoval. And I think that's pretty accurate. You could also put Donovan Solano at third base. You could put Mauricio Dubon at third base, and even Yolmer Sanchez. And then at first base, the Giants list Brandon Belt, Wilmer Flores, Buster Posey. Obviously, he's not a factor here. Austin Slater, Aramis Garcia, who's not a factor either as he's on the 60-day injured list, and Pablo Sandoval. So Darren Ruff is not listed there, which is not correct. So in terms of how I think they could cover the position, first looking at third base, as I said, Wilmer Flores, Mauricio Dubon, Donovan Solano, Yolmer Sanchez, and Pablo Sandoval. So that's five guys. And then looking at first base behind Brandon Belt, Wilmer Flores, Darren Ruff, Pablo Sandoval, and even Alex Dickerson and Joe McCarthy, who we've heard, you know, we've heard about both of those guys playing some first base, and even Austin Slater. So that would be six guys counting Slater. So I just do think they're going to have the ability to cover these injuries. But the question becomes, like, who is it going to be of those five or six guys at those positions? Let's just say Evan Longoria and Brandon Belt are not able to play in the opener. I mean, Brandon Belt probably wouldn't have been out there anyway against Kershaw, but, you know, let's just say against righties and against lefties, who would they have out there if Belt and Longoria aren't able to play? It's a puzzle piece. It really is, because, you know, you could go a number of different directions, and that's going to have a ripple effect at other positions as well, because the Giants are really a versatile team now, and they're stressing versatility all over the diamond. So one change affects everybody else. They also have the DH spot to think about. So when you look at Darren Ruff, Pablo Sandoval, those types of guys, you know, the question is it first base or is it DH? So I would say, I mean, Pablo Sandoval certainly could be the first baseman if they believe his defense is still good enough to play there, which they probably do given that they re-signed him before knowing that the DH was coming to the National League. So I would, assuming he's healthy, maybe put Pablo Sandoval at first base, assuming Belt isn't good to go, and then probably Wilmer Flores at third base, and that leaves Hunter Pence and Darren Ruff as options to DH in that scenario. And again, that was my example against right-handed pitching. But against left-handed pitching, I would have Darren Ruff probably at first base, and I would keep Wilmer Flores at third base. So you may be looking at Wilmer Flores as just a everyday third baseman in the scenario that Evan Longoria is injured. But you could also have Yolmer Sanchez play a position like third and have Wilmer Flores play second. So lots of interchangeable parts. I just think their depth is so much better than it's been in years past. Coming up in the second half of the show, I want to talk more about yesterday's intra-squad games and some standout performances. And we'll also talk about another position on the FanGraphs positional power rankings. But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and $216.79 at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. As promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to talk more about yesterday's intra-squad game. I also want to talk a little bit more about Yomer Sanchez, actually, and then we'll look at Fangraph's positional power rankings for another position. So the first thing that I kind of meant to talk about in the first half of the show is about Yomer Sanchez. So there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle by Hank Shulman that I thought shed some interesting light on the Yomer Sanchez signing. So Shulman notes that in the offseason, Yomer Sanchez hired a private hitting instructor to rework his swing. And this is something we've talked about so much on this show. Players have had to go outside the organization to find the instruction that leads to them improving. I mean, this is just clear and obvious. He wasn't getting that instruction from his own team. And yes, he was a free agent, but he had to go hire a private hitting instructor. He wasn't working with someone who works with a team. And the big punchline here is that that private hitting instructor was Justin Vealy. Point to make about Vealy, I now know the name is pronounced Vealy because it's on his personal Twitter page. He clarifies the pronunciation as V-L-E-E, Vealy. So Justin Vealy is a Giants hitting instructor, and he was a private hitting instructor for Yomer Sanchez before the Giants hired him. So there's a couple of things going on here. Number one, it's no surprise that Sanchez decided to sign with the Giants, knowing that he could work with his hitting instructor full-time being with the team. Number two, it's no surprise that the Giants signed Sanchez because they were getting reports from Vealy that Sanchez had the tools to make strides at the plate. So it's kind of a double whammy here where there's two reasons why the Giants targeted Sanchez in the first place and why he wanted to be with the Giants. So I thought that was just an interesting note. Last thing about this simulated game yesterday is that Caleb Barragar, the left-handed pitcher that the Giants added to their 60-man pool a week or so ago, really impressed me yesterday. He had no number on his back, and I was just watching this guy throw and thinking, who the heck is this guy? I was thinking, is it possibly one of their draft picks from this year? But I knew that none of them had been added to the pool, and it didn't look like the deliveries of any of their draft picks, so was really confused about who it was, and then figured out it was Barragar, who I've never seen throw, but I was just really impressed by him. He was blowing fastballs by Mike Yastrzemski. He had a free and loose delivery, and the fastball seemed to have good carry and ride on it. And sure enough, after the game, Yastrzemski was raving about Barragar, as was Gabe Kapler, who compared him to Andy Pettit, although he said with a smile that he wasn't saying Barragar was a Hall of Fame pitcher just yet. So anyway, that was the notes from yesterday. Now I just want to briefly talk about the next position on the Fangraphs positional power rankings that we've been looking at day by day here. So this is an interesting and relevant one. It's third base, where, you know, we just talked about what is the Giants' depth behind Longoria. So even with Longoria, Fangraphs and their projections had the Giants as the 25th third base team, so the sixth worst in baseball. So, I mean, if you really look at it here, Longoria was projected to have a 310 weighted on base average, which basically is just an all-encompassing offensive metric, and that puts him at slightly below league average. And, you know, they have Wilmer Flores as a backup projected to have a significantly better weighted on base average of 328. That's more like league average and maybe a little bit a tick above league average. So it probably doesn't hurt them that Wilmer Flores will see more playing time and Evan Longoria will see less. And behind Longoria and Flores, they have Donovan Solano and Pablo Sandoval. I think that's pretty fair, except that we may also see Yolmer Sanchez. So I think the ranking probably won't change much, and I would agree. I mean, Flores as a third baseman, probably not going to be the greatest defensive player over there, so I think it's fair to put the Giants this low at the third base ranking. And that has a lot to do with Longoria. I mean, they didn't plan. They're stuck with that contract. Eventually they're going to have to figure out a solution, but it wasn't the most pressing need for them. And it makes sense that, you know, that this is just the way it is right now. It'll be addressed eventually, but for now, it's not the number one priority for them to address third base. And now they're just, you know, every team, most teams are going to have a problem when one of their everyday type players goes down with an injury. So that is all the time we have for today. Next week, we'll continue to look at these positional power rankings and then provide any updates from over the weekend, and I'm sure there will be plenty. We'll also preview the two exhibition games between the Giants and the A's that are going to take place on Monday and Tuesday. So very exciting. Season starts next week. We're back to being a daily show Monday through Friday. So please hit that subscribe button to get this show every day if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.